Now then we have the problem of the Big Cypress. The Big Cypress extends to it's the western border of the Everglades. I wouldn't know how far the Big Cypress goes to the north, except there's an area immediately south of Caloosahatchee that we call the Devil's Garden. There's a dome of rock under it, so it's higher. And it was always very dry, and the Big Cypress begins south of that and extends all the way down to Cape Sable through the 10,000, to the backgrounds of the 10,000 islands. That is a true swamp. It is based on the same old jagged oolitic limestone that the Everglades is. But the limestone is right there. When you walk into the Big Cypress, there'll be standing water comes up above your ankle, but your foot immediately finds the roughness of the rock below it. It doesn't have very much soil. But the great cypress have come in. It's called the Big Cypress, not because it's big, but because the cypress are. Two kinds of cypress, the Big Cypress and the Dwarf Cypress. The Dwarf Cypress is in there, but it's the Big Cypress. You see it particularly, and I hope you've all gone to Cork School, which belongs to the Audubon Society now, and is a primeval cypress forest, perfectly beautiful and beautifully preserved. Well, the Big Cypress has its problems. Years ago, in 69 and 70, the lower part of Florida was threatened by the Miami-Dade County Port Authority wanting to put a jet port which would be north of the Everglades National Park on the edge of the Big Cypress. And we managed to stop it by getting the federal government to buy, well, it wasn't a process of thereby anyway, to acquire much of the land of the Big Cypress as a wildlife and water preserve. And we got the state to give them a lot more land as a buffer state. So that has been a water and wildlife preserve ever since, well, 69 and so, no, was that, well, anyway, went in there somewhere. But we were not able, yeah, 69 and 70, we were not able to buy the mineral rights under the soil. And that's when the oil people bought the mineral rights and came in to the Big Cypress. Now, you cannot take a person's property away from him without due process of law. That's in the Constitution of the United States. And if we didn't, the only way we could control the mineral, the oil people in the Big Cypress would be to control the access roads. But if you denied them all access, there would be a large question whether that would be what they call a taking process, that is depriving a man of the use of his property, which is illegal. However, I don't know that they could have claimed that, because they could have brought the things out by air, perhaps, but anyway, they didn't. So we have the oil people in there. Now, the kind of oil that they've been getting out of their early oil wells has been a very low-grade crude. The first oil wells went in many years ago on the Immokalee Road up from the trail. Number 2 Sunnyland came in years and years ago. I remember going over to see it. They never got anything but a crude so low and so high in sulfur that it wasn't very much. The oil itself is not much more than liquid asphalt, and they didn't get much more than 106 barrels a day, which is nothing. So they didn't get much out of the first oil wells in the Big Cypress, but recently they have been doing some experimental drilling, and they found what they call the area of the Bear Lake and the Raccoon Point oil fields have brought in more oil, but it's the same kind of crude. And with the situation as it is with oil and the expensive refinery, they have no excuse for drilling now or getting it, just simply they want to insure it. But there's no reason why they should. We don't need that oil. They can hardly afford it themselves. You know, so we have to tolerate this nuisance. I would like to see a moratorium on oil drilling until the prices go up or some other reason. Now, whether the state could impose a moratorium is another question. If we got enough public opinion, I bet we could.